Okay. All right. Welcome back to our Increasing Your Jewish IQ. Last week we had a good introduction to the calendar, and we began the month of Nisan. Okay, before we pick up on that, I want to move to the letter Zion. And we've done the alphabet until the letter Vav. So we had Zion, and I added also the letter Ches. We're going to see if we can get to all that tonight. What I want to do is first start with the letter Zion, then go back to the calendar, as you'll see why, because the 3 months of Nisan, Iyar, Sivan correspond to the letters Hey, Vav, and Zion. Yeah. So if I finish Zion, we can go through the calendar, and then when we're finished with the calendar, then if we have time, we'll do the letter Ches. And that's going to be it. We don't have class for the next 2 weeks. So you have lots of time to review or forget everything we taught you. It's going to go one way or the other. Either you're going to review it or you're going to forget it. And by then, the spring will be over, and then we can do the next 3 months, which is the summer. Okay, so that will be the next thing on the agenda. Okay, we're starting out with the letter Zion. What do we know about the letter Zion? First of all, it makes the sound of Z, like a Z. Okay. The letter Zion looks quite similar to it. Oh, let's make this a little bigger, right? Is that going to be better for everybody?
It's easy to see.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll make it just a wee bit bigger. A wee bit bigger. But, whoa, that's no good. I made everything gray. Oh, boy, now what do they do? Now the whole thing's gray. Let's try it again. I could do that. That's right, I could do that.
There we go.
Okay, now let's get this back. Just get this back here. Okay. Okay. Oh, man. Now it's moved everything around. Okay, the letter Zion. The letter Zion looks quite similar to its neighbor, the letter Vav. Right? Tall and straight, a simple vertical line. The Vav, we already said last time we looked at the Vav, is equivalent to the number 6, Gematria 6, which represents the visible world, which means corresponding to 6 sides, let's say, of a box, front, back, right, left, up, and down. That's 6, but 7, how does that relate to the Zion? Let's look at the shape. There's a number of ways to look at what you could do with the shape. Now remember, the Zion that you're looking at here is not the Zion that's in the Sefer Torah. Let's see if we can whip that one out quickly to get back to that. You see? Look over there. See the sign in the Sefer Torah? Looks quite different. That's got crowns on the top. Not all letters have crowns, but that's more like what a Zion looks like. Anyway. So, the Zion, which looks like a crowned Vav. It looks like a Vav that has a crown. Okay, that's one way to notice the difference. Has a numerical value of 7. Right? We know the first 7 letters really quickly. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hei, Vav, Zayin. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Right? We got that? Okay. So, and represents, according to Kabbalah, the natural order. As we'll see a little bit more like that. Also, another shape concept with the letter Zayin looks like a sword. You think about it, looks like a sword, especially the one in the Torah text. It looks much more like a sword. Okay, so that's a symbol of spirit, sustenance, and struggle. Sword, you catch animals, you slaughter animals with that. You need to have energy to cast the sword. Struggling, it represents the 7th day of Shabbos, the day of rest and spirituality, which completes the process of the 6 days of creation. It includes the 6 days and 6 days of physical reality. but stands as unique seventh principle or energy, the spirit, which activates the physical. So the analogy we could use, if you have a box that's got the six sides, the seven would be smack in the middle, would be the central focus point, okay? So that gives you an idea of the focus that everything has. We'll see that the sense that corresponds to Zion is the source of movement, as we'll see shortly about that, which activates all of creation. So a little bit more mystical, Zion is drawn with a little bit repetition. Zion is drawn with a vav with a crown on the top. Now the vav, what is it? It's a straight line. So what does that represent? So in Kabbalah, there's something called the Or Yashar and the Or Chozer. The Or Yashar is the straight light. The Or Chozer is the light that comes back. So the straight light, when we talk about light, we talk about illumination, we talk about God's Shefa, God's flow. So the Vav is related to the Or Yashar, the direct light from Hashem that's coming into the created world. But that direct light that we get, we just don't keep it selfishly. We use it in the way God wants us to use it. And then we, as it were, send it back. We take what God gives us and we use it for its purpose, brings it to its potential, its reality, and as it were, we give it back to God. So it returns. It's chozer, which means to go back. So the Zion relates to the Or Chozer, the returning light, which follows the path of the Vav to return and then spreads out when it reaches the crown, and Hashem is the crown. So the Zion impregnates all of life and allows the Vav to spread, opening the field of every possibility. Which you're taking all the blessing and using it in every possible way in which Hashem wanted it. Continuing with the idea of the sword, so the Zion represents all movement. It represents the struggle between opposites. The struggle for existence, the struggle for sustenance. It's all the things you use a sword for. It is the struggle, really, between Yaakov and the Malach that fought with him. Okay? Within that struggle, it's the power within a person that causes them to speak, initiate, and live. As well, Zion's also the source of rest, because that's the seventh day. It teaches us to harmonize the spirit and perfection related to the seventh day of rest and the matter of the 6 days of work. Which you got the 6 days of work that are trying to be using the world in a way God wants us to use it, and then the purpose should be realized on the seventh day. If you're working 7 days, then you're not coming to any goals. So the seventh shows that we're finally taking, really what you're supposed to do on Shabbos is to review what you've done in the 6 days and see how that is brought Hashem into the world. So therefore, seven represents the ultimate natural order as the 7 days of creation. Not just 6 days of creation, but there's a purpose. The purpose of the 6 days was the Shabbos. That's the ultimate totality of creation. Also, since it represents nature, Zion is the first letter of the word Zera, which means a seed. A seed represents ultimate completion in nature. For everything a plant needs to grow is already contained within the seed. The whole tree is in the seed over there. The DNA is in the seed. Zion's also the first letter of the word Zun, which means to sustain. Refers to Hashem as the sustainer who provides grain for food for the entire world. What's the benching called? Birchas ha mazon, which is the blessing of sustenance. Also, another interesting shape with the Zion, the letter Zion is so closely tied to nature, it even looks like a flower. If you can imagine the letter, the little stem going up, and the crown is like the flower, newly sprouted from the ground. The Hebrew noun Zion, however, actually translates as Ziyun, weapon. That's the sword, the weapon. See, all of the words connect now. Zion, Ziyun, almost identical. Reminding the world that since the curse of Adam, it is natural for humankind to struggle for his or her sustenance. Another interesting shape concept constructed from the Vav with a crown on its head, which I said, and we'll see a little bit later when we get to the Ches, the Talmud says, or the Psukim say, a crown of a husband is a woman of valor. An Eishes Chayil is an Ateris Bala. So, therefore, we'll see, is considered a feminine energy, the number seven, as we'll see. Number seven refers to Shabbat, the bride, the queen. We'll see that Vav is represents the man, and Zion the woman, as we'll see more in the letter Ches. So therefore, the letter Zion means sword, scepter, the king. And after we eat, we bless Hashem, who provides all things. That's the mazon that we're thanking for. 7 days is also the celebration of a chuppah, the honeymoon. 7 days of Sheva Brachos. 7th year of rest for the land and forgiveness of debts at Shemitah. And therefore, our work in this world is what? To return the light from above in order to fix and rectify all of creation. And that's what it says when Mashiach comes. It's the sword and a plow, where it says they shall beat their swords into plowshares during the 1,000th year reign or rest period prior to Mashiach. After the 6,000 years of this world, the seventh millennia, will have a reconstruction of the world, bring it to its ultimate perfection. And then if you recall, when we started the first discussion on the letters, we said that the Talmud, the children in the Talmud said that Aleph Beis, it all stands for things. So the first six is a little bit of review, if you recall, but we want to get to Zayin and Ches. Aleph Beis, we said, means Aluf, learn, wisdom. Aleph Bina. Gimel Dalet, we said, just review, show kindness to the poor. Gomel Dalet. Hevav, we said that's the name of Hashem. And we kind of said that the poor person looks at Hashem to help him. But now we could take it a step further now. So really, Aleph Beis, Aleph Bina, learn Torah, Gimel Dalet, Gomel Dalet, do kindness to the poor. That's really what a Jew's job is to do. Study the Torah, do chesed, and Hevav, which is Hashem's name. And then we move on to Zion, Ches, Tes, Yud, Chof, Lamed. And which basically means, we're going to do the whole chunk, but I will go it over again. But I just want you to understand the direction. If we can understand what the letters are, it's like a poetry, so to speak. So you remember, Aleph Beis, Aleph Bina, learn wisdom, Gimel Dalet, Gomel Chesed, do kindness. And if you do kindness, Hevav, which represents Hashem, will, Zayin Ches Tes Yud Chaf Lamed, which means if you do this, God will, the Zion stands, as we said, Zon. He will sustain you. Ches will learn about, he will be gracious to you, the word Chain. He will show goodness to you, Meitiv, that's the test, give you a heritage, a Yerusha starts with a Yud, and bind a crown, which starts with the letter Chaf, on you in the world to come. We'll go into more details in all that. I just want you to see, I already got the first 11 letters. If you want to remember the first 11 letters, just in your mind, learn Torah, do chesed, and Hashem will sustain, Hashem will be gracious, and all these things, and that's going to run us through the first half of the alphabet. So you're ready, if you can just remember the details that go into that, you'll be able to remember. So the Zion is Zon, the way they were, to sustain. Hashem will sustain you. If we learn Torah, we learn wisdom, we show kindness to others, then Hevav, that represents Hashem, is going to give us all these amazing things. And right now, just Zion, Zon, Hashem will sustain us. Okay. Now, very interesting, we did this when we did the Shabbos one also, but it's good to go it over now that we have a little better handle on our letters. If you think about all the traditional foods that we eat, I should have added, on Shabbos would sound a lot better. Okay. All have a numerical value of 7. Coincidence, right? When adding the numbers, let's take a look at the words. Wine. How do you say wine in Hebrew?
Yayin.
Yayin. How do you spell yayin? Yud, yud, nun. Now, if you have that sheet from a while back looking at the gematrias, you could quickly figure out what that is, whereas that's on the first one with the letters. I believe when we look at the letters, the Aleph Beis letters, it should be the second sheet. There it is. So what is Yud?
10.
What's Yud again?
10.
What's Nun? 50. That equals 70. 70 is 7 plus 0 is 7. That's Yayin, right? Chala is spelled Ches Lamed Hey. Ches numerical value is 8. Lamed is 30. Hey is 5. Equals 43. 4 plus 3 is 7. Okay. Fish is all the foods we eat on Shabbos. Fish in Hebrew is a dug, spelled Dalet Gimel. What's the gematria of Dalet? 4. Gimel is 3. Equals 7. That's straight off. Now, what else do you have on Shabbos? Soup. right? Which is called Marak. Mem, Resh, Kuf. Mem is 40, Resh is 200, Kuf is 100. That's 340. 3 plus 4 plus 0 is 7. Okay, what else do we have on Shabbos? Meat, basar, beis, sin, resh. Beis is 2, sin is 300, resh is 200, 502, 5 plus 0 plus 2 is 7. Okay, and one extra one, we all light candles, right? So we light a ner. A ner is the candle, is the lamp. Ner is spelled nun, resh. Nun is 50, resh is 200, 250. 2 plus 5 plus 0 is 7. So you can begin to see that Shabbos and 7 is a very connected concept over there. And you see how it keeps coming back. You see how the gematrias all work out really nice. Yeah. And everybody knows what you eat on Friday night, right? Mm-hmm. And now we just know what they are in Hebrew, and you're able to put the gematrias together. Okay, now that we have 5, 6, and 7 taken care of, okay, now we can cross over, as it were, and now go back to our Jewish calendar that we started, talked about in great detail last week. And I even remember where we ended it. Why is it not? Okay, let's just quickly take a look at our 3 months of the spring. All right? As the Sefer Yetzirah explains it, right? If you see the chart over there, okay, we're looking at the spring months again. The Jewish year starts in Nisan, all right? Then comes Iyar, then comes Sivan. Where are we now in the Jewish calendar? Sivan. And we're slowly approaching the 24th day of Sivan, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. So, 22nd. That's right. I'm forgetting from the Wednesday class. Yeah. I'm changing my dates here. 22nd of Sivan. So we gave a little discussion of Nisan. We described, you remember, how these all relate to the first year and a half the Jews are in the desert. That was our discussion. We showed how they correspond to each one of the tribes who traveled in the desert. It's all stuff we did last week. We explained the holiday, the lunar cycle, etc., etc. And we began the month of Nisan, which Nisan stands for miracles, right? Right? So just, again, quickly, see, it's easier for me to move around than you. So again, just going across Nisan, the zodiac sign is the Tle, the sheep. The tribe is Yehuda, the sense is speech, the holiday is Pesach, and the letter that represents it is Hey. Okay? So we went through part of that in Nisan. We went through, I believe, the first 10 points. We ended off with the Seder, if I recall, and the fifth step was the Magid, which was speech. And that's what it's about, speech, all right? So let's move on to 11, point 11, and maybe we'll make it a little bigger again, and let's hopefully it goes smoother this time. Let's see. Okay. No, that's no good. That is really big. Interesting. When I do that, it just messed my whole thing up.
So a couple of points more, that's all.
Let's try it again. Let's take it down. Okay. Let's see if we can find Nisan if we haven't lost it. Okay, here we go. All right. Number 11. Okay. Nisan is referred to in the Torah by three names. First, it's called the first month. Okay. Obviously, the month of redemption is, that month is considered even greater than Tishrei, the month that the universe came into being. Okay. The world was created with a purpose, which is that we humans imbue it with purpose in order to rectify ourselves individually in the world at large. Nisan is the month in which our people emerged with this goal as their national definition. So Tishrei is the first month for the entire world, and Nisan is the first month for the Jewish nation. That's one name. Aviv, which we mentioned also. This name means spring, the time when the physical and spiritual messages of rebirth meet and blossom. And that's why we said we have to align the lunar and solar calendar so that the holiday of Pesach is in the spring, so that's got to line up with the solar calendar. It's also called Nisan, although it's a Babylonian origin, but the Aramaic word Nisan is related to the word also Nitzan, meaning to bud. To bud. So, obviously, a lot of things in the agricultural world bud in Nisan, and redemption is symbolically referred to as the time that the buds were seen in our land, which means that the inarticulate earth gave birth to a people who soon would flower. Just like the world flowers in Nisan, so the Jewish people will flower. We also said Nisan is cognate with the word nes, miracle. This is a month that is filled with continuous miracles. So therefore, let's take a look at some of the things that happened in this month that would focus on miracles or something related to that. So again, the very first calendar date in Nisan was when we got the first commandment of the Torah to sanctify the months. We said was on the very first Nisan that ever was a Nisan, according to a calendar basis, in 2448, right before we went out of Egypt. Okay, the miracles of the Exodus from Egypt, the splitting of the Sea of the Reeds. And the Mishkan was inaugurated 1 year later in the year 2449, which is probably one of the greatest miracles, where the Almighty's presence rested on the earth. That's a great miracle. Many years later, 40 years later, the Jews crossed the Jordan River miraculously. When they entered the land of Israel, what was the miracle with the Jordan River? The Jordan River did not split, but the Jordan River, instead of splitting, the river just flowed up vertically, up for miles and miles and miles while the Jews crossed. Okay? Now, the month of Nisan is so dominated by holidays that we don't even say Tachanun the entire month. So it is a pretty miraculous month with many holidays, Pesach being the primary one. That is the focus of that. Now, we even know before the holiday of Pesach was officially declared, we knew that Avram observed Pesach as well. See, you have to remember, in Judaism, the months themselves, or even the holidays, the 15th of Nisan was always a holy day, and therefore great miracles would happen on this day. So even before they happened, Avram could celebrate the message of Pesach. The message of Pesach, of rebirth and freedom, it isn't dependent on the Jews going out of Egypt. It existed in creation from the very beginning. So obviously, if you have to pick a day that Jews would go out of Egypt, it would obviously be on the 15th of Nisan. So the Maral explains that Avram, although there was no Jews leaving Egypt, he celebrated Pesach. The Torah tells us he baked matzahs on the 14th of Nisan, because the month of Nisan, as it were, spoke to Avram, and the more he looked at the world and he saw the evidence of Hashem's love and all that, the more humble he felt, and therefore he understood that he would be celebrating Pesach even before the Jewish people left. Now again, the sign for Nisan, we said, is the lamb. What do we know about lambs? Lambs graze in a flock, faithfully following the shepherd. All right? And sometimes being a follower is a much more mature choice than being a leader. Okay? Being a follower doesn't mean you're a failure or you're passive, but you have smart enough to know who to follow. So the Jews made a choice. They could have stayed in Egypt. They could have followed God into the desert. Obviously, you can't be very arrogant if you're going to follow God into Egypt. And that's the whole idea of the matzah is not inflated and all those things that we know about Pesach. So in Egypt, when we were going between these forces of assimilation and oppression, we came to realize that the real thing was to follow Hashem. And that's what the lamb does. The lamb follows the shepherd. And of course, we also, another mitzvah that is associated with the month of Nisan, is to make the blossoming of the blessing on the first new blossoms of the fruit trees, which bracha in English is, blessed are you, God, our King, King of the universe, for nothing is lacking in his universe, and he created within it good creatures and trees with which to provide pleasure to mankind. That bracha is usually made in Nisan. In Canada, you can't make it in Nisan because there's no buds in Nisan. So you can wait and make it later. You can usually make it in Eeyore. You can even make it now. So until full fruits have come out. And I don't think there's any real fruits you could eat yet. So if you haven't made the bracha, you're probably still over a a flowering tree, you can still make the bracha. All right, so that's where Nisan fits into play. So let's go back to the chart and see if is there anything missing here. Okay, so we've got Nisan, means miracles. It's the first month when we went out of Egypt. Sheep loyally following Hashem. The tribe Yehuda, again, Yehuda was, if you remember the chart over here, when the Jews broke camp, they went starting from the east side, and they'd go east, and Yehuda was the first tribe that would go. So that's the initial tribe that leads us out of Egypt. So that's where Yehuda fits into this. We'll see more about that. The sense of speech, as we said, when we were in Egypt, our speech was in exile, as it were. The greatest show of your freedom is to be able to speak freely and articulate what's really inside the person. And we explain how the letter He is one of the names of Hashem, and that is also a big letter of speech, the from the breath that comes out of the person. So that is the month of Nisan. Okay, that's how we start out of the gate. Let's move on to Iyar. Okay. Okay, month of Iyar. The month of Iyar is called the month of Ziv. Hebrew means radiance. Iyar is also cognate with the word of light. Okay, the month of Iyar is commonly referred to as the month of naturally healing, for its name is an acronym, Iyar, Aleph, Yud, Resh. In Hebrew is, I am Hashem, your healer. Ani Hashem, Rofecha, Aleph, Yud, Resh. So it's a time of healing. Okay, what's the letter for that month? The letter for that month is Vav. Why will that letter be? Well, what did we say about Vav? What does Vav mean? The Hebrew word Vav is a hook. Remember, Vav is a hook? Vav in Hebrew means and. It connects things.
Right.
Vav is a connector.
Right.
So now let's see, what does Iyar do? Iyar is a connecting month. Remember, it's the middle of the three spring months. It's going to connect the first month of Nisan to the third month of Sivan. Okay, how does it link it with the power of Svirat HaOmer, the mitzvah of counting the Omer, which the bulk of the 49 days is which month? Iyar. Iyar, you got all 29 or 30 days of Iyar. That's the bulk of the 49 days. You started counting Svirat second half of Nisan. You end at the early part of Sivan, but you have the entire month of Iyar, all right, which now we're linking the exodus from Egypt of Nisan to the receiving of the Torah at Sinai. It just didn't happen. We went out of Egypt and we got the Torah at Sinai. It weren't just two separate random events, but they were linked by the 7 weeks of Sefirah Seomer, which was primarily the month of Iyar. Right? It's interesting, the Torah, when it talks about all the months, it refers to these 3 months specifically as the month what we went out of Egypt. It refers to Nisan as the first month we went out of Egypt. Iyar is referred to as the second month we went out of Egypt. Sivan is referred to as the third month that we went out of Egypt. That's it. The other months are not referred to as the months we went out of Egypt.
Right.
Because this is the group of three that's the critical goal of why we went out of Egypt, was to get the Torah. Okay, what's the mazel? What's the constellation? Is the shore, which is the bull, which really, as far as a human being, that's like the animal soul of the man, as it were. What do you know about a bull? As an animal, what characteristic would you say is a bull?
Stubborn.
What? That's what it has, but what's its character?
Stubborn?
What does it do?
Judge.
What do you use a bull for? An ox?
To plow.
To plow, to work hard. Hard-working animal. Okay? As we'll see. And the month of Iyar is the month that man rectifies his animal soul, refines his innate character traits. Each day of Sefirah Seomer, which you're not going to give a whole class on Sefirah Seomer now, but you understand why Sefirah Seomer fits into that. There's a lot of hard work in the month of Iyar. We've got to transform our animalistic tendencies into more spiritual directions so that we can receive the Torah in the month of Sivan. Okay, the root of the word shor, a bull, also means to look or observe. So that's a time for introspection to improve ourselves. Okay, which is the tribe that's associated? What was that second tribe that went together with Yehuda? It's Yisachar. What do we know about Yisachar? Yisachar were the very highly gifted Torah studiers. The people on the Sanhedrin, the high court, were mostly comprised of the people from the tribe of Yisachar. And in particular, the great wisdom Yisachar had was the secret of the Jewish calendar, which took a lot of brains to understand all the math and secret powers of the universe, etc. And the Torah calls them as the knowers of understanding the times. And therefore, so the basic nature of Yisachar is to think, and he could be an advisor because of the Torah knowledge he has, and to all the tribes of Israel, specifically the king. That's where the real Torah knowledge rests, is in Yisachar. Okay, now what sense, therefore, do we have to focus on? Thought, because that's what your brains are meant to do. If you want to get Torah, you got to think a lot. Contemplation, introspection, all right? It's the power to calculate the calendar, the power of counting and calculating, Sefiras HaOmer. Okay, to think in Hebrew is chashav, okay, which is the same as a numerical calculation, to make a cheshbon, that not just a numerical cheshbon, but a cheshbon, a calculation of our souls, and how we're supposed to improve our characteristics during these 7 weeks of Sefira. So now, interesting, the great contrast between Iyar and Nisan. Why? First of all, the month of Nisan has a lot of spiritual holidays. It's got a lot of holidays, a lot of days off. On the other hand, Iyar has very little. So therefore, what do we have to do? A lot of work. Two kinds of work. Physical work. What did Jews do in the month of Iyar in the land of Israel? No, not plow. I hope not. No, what are they doing in the spring? Harvesting. That's the most stressful month in Israel, if you're a farmer, is the month of Iyar. Because that's when you want to harvest everything that you've worked for. If you don't harvest at all, you're going to have great financial losses. It was the most stressful period of time as a farmer. Yeah, you were busy plowing in the winter, seeding in the winter, hoping it'll rain, and watch it happen. And as Pesach comes, you see the amber waves of grain all over the Eretz Yisrael and everything. But that's not going to help you if you can't harvest it. And quickly, before elements of destruction come in. Okay, so that really, what's happening physically on the ground is what the person should be spiritually doing in his mind. He's just experienced Pesach, a great spiritual awakening. Now he should be harvesting the spiritual qualities that one has, and that's what the 7 weeks of the Sefiras HaOmer is about. Very stressful time, not in a negative way, but if we don't get the work done now, when is it going to get done? If we don't get the work done now, we're not going to have enough food to eat for the entire year. If we don't get the work done spiritually at this time, when else are we going to grow during the year? So that's that month of Iyar. So who do you want really directing traffic in that month, if not Yisachar, with his brains to tell us to use our brains to focus on spiritual growth. Right, again, and that's the ox. The ox is the animal that works in the field. Right? Okay, some things I repeated already. The Zohar calls this month the attribute of truth. Okay? And that saves you from evil thoughts. Okay? And I think we mentioned already, the book of Malachim refers to this month as Ziv, brightness, because it's much sunnier and it gets much hotter in Eretz Yisrael when you're getting into that month of Iyar. And what events happened in this month? Well, it was, first of all, the first complete month the Jews were in the desert. First complete month, starting when they entered the place called Mara. Okay, the Levim began to carry the tabernacle's vessels on their shoulders. The cornerstone of the Beis HaMikdash was laid during the days of King Solomon. Also, we have Pesach Sheni, and we have Lag BaOmer. It's interesting, the day that the Jewish people were told to break camp from Sinai was the 20th of Sivan. 20th of Iyar. The 20th of Iyar. Last week's Parsha, Baloscha. The 20th of Iyar, time to move. Iyar would be an ideal month for that. That's what it's about. You move. And what happened as they were told to move? They started complaining about it. It's not an easy time to move. So the month of Iyar, really, as much as Nisan is miraculous events, we engage our mouths, we begin the process of this growth, but you're kind of riding the wave of the holiday of Pesach. Iyar, you got to roll up your sleeves and really get to work. There are really no serious holidays here. Pesach Sheni is not a holiday that's really for everybody. It's only people who missed out on Pesach. Otherwise, there's no holiday there. Lag BaOmer was much later. It's not a biblical holiday. So there's really, what? There's work to be done, spiritual work to be done. And that's the month of Iyar. So therefore, if we go back to our little handy-dandy chart, right? So we've got Iyar is the shore, is the bull, Yisachar. And that's what, Yisachar has to work hard with his Torah. The sense we're working on is our thought. And the letter Vav is the connector where we're connecting to Hashem. The letter He is Hashem, the creation of the world. Remember, Nisan gives purpose to the creation of the world. Vav, we connect to that concept. And that will connect us into the next month of Sivan. Okay, good. No questions? It's also clear? Okay, good. Baruch Hashem. All right, so let's work on Sivan, which we're slowly ending. This is fascinating over here. I think we mentioned this once before. Talmud says, blessed is Hashem who gave us a threefold Torah to a threefold people by the third, on the third day in the third month. A lot of threes over here. Threefold Torah, Torah, Nevi'im, Kesuvim. Right? Threefold people, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. Third Shevet, Levi, third son of Kahas was Moshe, of Amram, who's the third son. On the third day, the third month of Sivan, third day, I had to also prepare 3 days before we get to Torah. A lot of threes. And it is the third month. Okay? Now, in this quote, the Talmud calls Hashem the merciful one. It's called the merciful one, gave us this Torah. God's attribute of mercy is related to number three, because it's the third of the seven spheros, the lower spheros, Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferes is the third one. The third one is mercy. Now, what's the letter associated with this month? It's Zion, which we just talked about the Zion, right? Numerical value is seven. So it's interesting, this month, although it's got a seven, it's also got a three. The Talmud mentions it's the third month, the third three-part Torah, etc., etc. So it's interesting, Kabbalistically, the numbers three and seven are very beloved numbers. Remember we talked about how many spheros are there in total? Ten. How many of the higher spheros? Three. Lower spheros? Seven. Okay. We see the connections with the threes and the seventh with regard to the giving of the Torah. Sivan's the third month. What day of the week was the Torah given? Shabbos, which was the seventh day of the week. And also it was what day of the month of Sivan? Seventh. You say, wait a minute, I thought Shavuos is on the sixth day of Sivan. You're right. Shavuos is the sixth day of Sivan, but the Sinai revelation was on the seventh day of Sivan. So it should prompt the question. I don't get it. If God gave us the Aseret Dibros on the seventh of Sivan, why do we celebrate it on the sixth of Sivan? Isn't that a fascinating question? I have great material for a Parsha class. I'm not going to discuss it now, but it's a long discussion. But that's a very good question. You should be worrying about that. We do, even in Israel, everywhere, we celebrate Shavuos on the 6th of Sivan. That is the day of Shavuos. Everyone agrees the Torah is given on a Shabbos. Everyone agrees it was given on a Shabbos. And Shabbos was the 7th of Sivan. And God revealed himself to the Jews at Sinai on the 7th day of Sivan. And we celebrate Shavuos on the 6th day of Sivan. Yom Matan Toroteinu. Right? We got to start getting ready on the 4th. 3 days.
But Rabbi, 6th never falls on a Saturday anyway, right, in our calendar. It's always the 7th falls on a Saturday, but 6th would never fall on a Saturday.
That's irregardless, because the calendar is fixed, okay. Right? But the point being, so why was that? Okay, that's a good question. It's for another time. What?
Yeah, it's disconnected.
Well, of course, because I haven't touched it for a few moments. So let me get it back on track. 1 second. Hello. Okay, now this is going to be very fascinating here. Who's the tribe here? Zvulun. All right, now you got the three tribes. Who are the three tribes now, the 3 months? Quick.
Yehuda,
Yisachar, Zvulun. What are the 3 months?
Nisan.
Okay, who goes with Nisan? Which tribe? Which tribe? Who goes with Iyar? Who goes with Sivan? Zvulun. See how well you can remember this? Now, let's figure out why this happens. Well, Zvulun corresponds to the month of Sivan. The name Zvulun begins with which letter?
Zion.
Oh, that's good. That's very interesting. It's the only tribe that has a Zion in his name. Good trivia question. Many other names have letters. They share letters. There's only one Zion in all 12 tribes. That's Zvulun. This is the month of Zvulun, so therefore the letter is going to be the letter Zion. Okay, now we're going to repeat. It's going to be a little crossover from the Zion that we learned. So a little repetition, but that's good. It connects it. This shape, the letter of the Zion, is made of a letter Vav with a crown attached to its head. Now, there's another crown. What crown has to do with Sivan? This represents the crown that every Jewish soul received at the giving of the Torah. When the Jews said, Na'aseh v'nish, we'll do it, we will listen, every Jew got two crowns. Okay, let's look at the gematria of the word crown. The word crown is keser. The gematria, you'll trust me on this, is 620. Okay. If you look at the text of the Ten Commandments, it has exactly 620 letters. Okay. Don't spend one day counting all the letters of the Aseret Hadibros. 620 letters. That's gematria of keser. Keser also is, how many mitzvahs are there? 613 biblical, seven of the initial rabbinic mitzvahs, or if you want to say seven Noahide laws, so that gives you 620 as well. Okay, so so Zion is the Vav with the crown on top. That's why Zion is the month. You follow? With the crown. Interesting, the sages associate the letter Zion with a very famous word that starts with Zion, Zeh. Zeh is a reference to the nature of Moshe's prophecies. Zeh means this, like precise. Moshe was very precise with his prophecies. Now let's see where Moshe fits into all this. Moshe was born and passed away on the seventh day of the month of Adar, the 12th month of the year, with the gematria of 12. What's the gematria of the word Zeh? Zion, hey. Zion is? Seven, hey is five, 12, he died in the 12th month. Okay, the number seven also is connected with the Torah readings of the month of Sivan. Every year during Sivan, we read Parsha's Balosecha, which was last week's Parsha. Which Parsha is that in the book of Bamidbar? Bamidbar is Bamidbar Naso Balosecha. It's the third one. Okay. Now, this is fascinating. This is really fascinating. The division of the Torah is into how many books? Well, according to some opinions. Okay, we'll see in a minute. Five books, which is alluded with the letter Hey, so now let's drop down to my nice little map over here that's got all moved around over here. It's all messed up. But, yeah, let's go over here. Okay, here's the old chart we showed you. Remember? Five books of the Torah. Bereishis has 12 parshas, Shmos 11, 12, 11, 10, 10, 11, 54 parshas. You remember all that, right? Yeah. Right? Remember we told you last week? We showed you this little picture of which parshios is in this three-month cycle of time where we show the green is at minimum, the least amount, starts from Tazria through Chukas, basically, or Shalach, and if it's a leap year, it starts with Vayikra. So you're getting the basics of Vayikra and a good chunk of Bamidbar. This is all relating to these 3 months. Okay, we're not going to go more deeply into that, but let's go back to our five books. You got five books laid out there real nicely. Well, maybe not. Talmud tells us the following. We know that in the middle of Baloscha, and I talked about it on Shabbos, we got two upside-down inverted nuns that has inside it the Psukim Vayihi bin Soharon, was when the ark went out, Uvenucha Yomer when it rested. Talmud says the upside-down nuns, one of the reasons it's there is to show it's a book unto itself. It's a book unto itself. If it is a book unto itself, then how many books do we have? Well, let's take a look. Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra. And now we've got Bamidbar until Baloscha. Okay? Then we've got, that would be the fourth book, Bamidbar. I think I have to fix up my chart a little bit because something got doubled here. Then the fifth book will be Vayihi bin Soharon. Right? You follow?
Yeah.
Right there.
Is it going to?
Right? The fifth book? Oh, there it is. Fifth book, right? Now, what's the sixth book? Well, from the rest of Baloscha to the end. That's the sixth book. And then Devar becomes the seventh book. See how that fits in? So I really should cross out under Bamidbar the other books over there because it was a little confusing. So let's take it back to where I am in the notes. You'll see where this all fits in over here. Where are we? Ah, so the division of the Torah into five books, the traditional way, is Gematria 5, is Hey. Division into seven books is what letter is seven? Zion is seven. Five and seven is 12. Zion and Hey is the word Zeh, and that's the nature of Moshe's prophecy. So you see how these two books together put it together. Now, what's the zodiac sign? Is Teumim, twins. So why would twins be the zodiac sign for the month of Sivan? Well, the simplest answer is, well, the tablets that he brought were twin tablets. Right? The right side, mitzvahs between us and God, left side between us and man, they're equally as important, and Moshe brought down twins. That's one aspect of the twins. Talmud tells us when a bride and groom attain the highest degree of connection, they are described as twins. They're twins. The day on which God gave the Torah to Jewish people, described as the wedding or the betrothal between the two. In the Song of Songs, God refers to his bride, the Jewish people, as perfect, Tamasi, and the rabbis read it as, not Tamasi, but Tu'umasi, my twin. We became the twin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the twinning over there. Now let's talk about another pair of twins, a more famous pair of twins, Yaakov and Esav. Okay, in every Jew, Yaakov represents the good inclination, while Esav represents the evil inclination. Nevertheless, through the power of Torah, given on the month of Sivan, even the relation between these diametrically opposed twins can be rectified and the two can unite. For that reason, the Torah says, you shall love God with all of your heart. And really, if you look at the proper translation, it should say hearts in the plural. B'chol levav v'chem. Sages explain all your heart refers to both inclinations. You have to serve Hashem with both. Likewise, let's take a look at the two tablets. The right side, the first five commandments, they really are primarily addressing the good inclination, right, between us and Hashem, which is Yaakov. The left side says, don't kill, don't murder, don't commit adultery. That's dealing with the Esav side of our personality. And the Luchos are putting those twins together, as it were. Not Esav per se, but those Esuvian qualities can be harnessed within the Jewish people. The tribe of Zevulun, what's so special about Zevulun? What do we know about Zevulun? How was Yisachar able to spend his whole day studying Torah if he wasn't working? He had a brother who partnered with him, right? And he was the one, had a special bond with Yisachar. He was a successful merchant and seafarer. They were businessmen. They split up their material and spiritual wealth, and that sustained the Torah. Now, it's interesting. You may ask a question now. So, wait a minute. If I was asking you which month, which tribe should be associated with the giving of the Torah, what would you have initially thought? Yisachar. So, why are you putting it Zevulun? You tell me the answer. Because without the support of Zevulun, Yisachar wouldn't be able to do it. And God wants you to know the ones who support Torah are equally as important as those who study the Torah. And if Yisavulun would not support Yisachar, you'd not be able to have the Torah. And therefore, and when you have to do the really hard, heavy lifting of these 3 months, where it's the heaviest lifting, is Iyar, right? And when you have to do the most mental exercising is the month of Iyar. So we put that with Yisachar. So now we have a perfect shidduch between Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zevulun. The Yehuda is the lion, right, from the flag, the courageous one. He's just the one who leads us out. He's got to lead us out of Egypt, lead us into the desert, as it were. Then we've got to do the hard work of Yisachar, of developing our character. And thanks to Zevulun, we're able to have a part of Torah. And that's how the three tribes fit into the 3 months. Good? And the Zion is the crown that's on top, and we got the crown of Torah. What's the sense for the month? Walking is the sense of the month of Sivan. It is referring not only to physical walking, but to the spiritual sense of progress or development. An individual possesses a sense of walking as a particular keenness in moving forward and always striving for more. Right? The Torah was given so that mankind could progress. And as such, the Torah is the ultimate instrument of progress. We're always moving forward. The Torah does not tolerate stagnation. So we're always progressing. Without it, we're just going around in circles. Interesting. Each of the many laws from the Torah are called halachas, a halacha, right? Mm-hmm. So what's the word halacha rooted in? The word hiluch, which means to walk. Mm-hmm. When you're learning halacha, you're learning how to move forward. That's what halacha is about. It's not just laws and rules, it's how we move forward. Okay? Now, the Shem Yishmol kind of summarizes all 3 months in another nice, easy way to remember. So Nisan is the lamb. What do you know about sheep? Sheep bleat as one and stick together. Sheep are together, but it's a lot of people together. So Nisan is the month where we're really supposed to focus on the community as a whole. We all went out of Egypt. For example, before Pesach, we collect maos chitim. We collect money for the poor. It's not good enough. I have a Seder. We have to worry about other people who have a Seder. We invite guests to our Seder table. We look at the Jewish people as a whole. We all go to the Beis HaMikdash on Pesach as a Jewish people as a whole. We're all, and that's like the sheep. It's one whole group. And we were all redeemed in Egypt, regardless of us, one being a tzaddik, one being a rasha. Whoever wanted to go out, went out. So that's, we focus on our spirituality as a community. Iyar is the bull. The bull is a more solitary animal. You ever see two bulls working together? Usually not. Bull goes himself. That's a complete focus on the individual. Nisan, you focus on the community. Iyar, you focus on the individual. Sivan is represented by twins, which is the healthy blend between community and individual, the two different foci, community, individual, and now that's what you want to have. Twins means you're worried about what's beyond you, but you also are focusing enough on yourself, and that is the end of the first 3 months, which represents the greatest period of growth that the Jew can have for the year. That's these 3 months, so in another few days, that's it. Whatever you grew through the Exodus of Egypt, through the 7 weeks of counting Sphira, and as we've mentioned, developing those 49, remember, 7 times 7, 49, what do we say, ways of acquiring the Torah, and that makes you beloved to Hashem, and then he gifts you how much Torah success and spiritual success you're going to have for the rest of the year. So these are clearly the three most powerful months, corresponding to the way the planet exists. It's growing. Whatever you've seen by now, that's what you're going to get. Whatever you've harvested by now in the fields, that's what you're going to get. There's some details to work through. You've done the initial harvest. Okay, you got to put it into the silos. But by the end of Sivan, in a material sense, you pretty well know how wealthy you're going to be this year. Although there's a lot more months of work, but you already know generally how much money you're going to have. Same thing spiritually. You basically know by the end of Sivan how spiritual you're going to be at this time. So it's generally, it's not to do with this class, but generally, you know, people maybe after, you know, Pesach, they get a little bit more into learning. But by this time of year, people start dropping off, and we could see who's still here is a good sign for the rest of the year for those that are still here. If you're here still, and you've been coming every week for these last weeks after Pesach, it bodes well for the rest of the year. I can't speak about the others. I assume they're all listening online. So then that's going to be good for them as well. So that is the summary of these 3 months. So therefore, I don't think, as we showed this to you a few weeks ago, that this is such a crazy amount of information to assimilate. Nisan Iyar Sivan, Sheepol Twins, right? Yehuda Yisachar Zvulun, speech, thought, motion. Remember, speech, Seder, talking, that's the expression of freedom, thinking, developing your spirituality, and motion, more than anything, is the action of, yes, we're now going to move forward with the Torah. And clearly the holiday of Shavuos makes sense over there. Okay, and the hey is the letter that's of God and his creation of the world, and Nisan is the beginning of the Jewish year for the Jewish people. Hey is a very speech letter. Vav connects Nisan to Sivan. Sivan's the Zion, the crown. We got the crowns. And that's the 3 months. Should be fairly easy to remember that. No? Remember we said, I remember I said at this class or the other class or both classes, remember we said of the 12 months, how many did Yaakov get? Did I tell you this last time? Yaakov and Esav. They have to split the world. So Yaakov got 6 months, Esav got 6 months. Which months did Yaakov... These 3 months, whose do you think they are? Whose would you think they are? It's not a hard question. It's Yaakov months. They're obviously Yaakov months. These are great spiritual growth. All again, there's so many things that it just makes sense. When is the best weather in Eretz Yisrael? These 3 months. Will be another 3 months. But so far, these are the best 3 months to be in Israel. What are one of the worst 3 months to be in Israel? It's coming up. Tammuz of El, where the temperatures are in the mid-40s. If you're going on vacation for pleasant weather, I mean, we don't want to say anything against Eretz Yisrael, but it's awfully hot. It's awfully hot. So the next 3 months we're going to get into are the months of Esav. Esav. And just like if you follow Esav's path, where's it going to end you up into? Gehenna. You're going to go to the fires of hell. And that's what the little hot days of summer are kind of hinting to. And you'll see, yes, as well, and Tisha B'Av and all the lousy times are coming up in the next 3 months. Okay? Then if you go further, then what's going to be in the back half? Let's go back to the top here. Let's see. We did Nisan Iyar Sivan. Okay, you know what's on the cutoffs. Mm-hmm. Oh, there it is. Okay, that's Yaakov. Tammuz of Elul is Esav. Just to know, Pikabola. Yaakov stole Elul away from Esav. Mm-hmm. He was able to steal it away. And that's how we have the month to prepare before Rosh Hashanah. Mm-hmm. So we've got it. Actually, we've got a 4-2 advantage now. But now as we take the next 3 months, which one's the next week? Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev. as opposed to Teve Shvat Ador, which would you say is Yaakov's and which is Esau's? Well, Tishrei is a pretty happy month,
yeah.
Right? Kislev's got Hanukkah. Those 3 months are Yaakov months. Teve Shvat Ador are coldest part of the year in Israel. Then the 6 nice months, spring and fall,
yeah.
Right? And that's why.
Hold on.
You can tell flights to Israel more expensive. Nisan Yer Sivan, Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev. Generally speaking, some exception.
Yeah.
But Teve Shvat Ador, that's like terrible. That's freezing cold. It's yachy. It's really bad. Those are the Esav months. But we stole another month away from Esav, and that was Ador. So we stole Ador, and really we also stole half of Av. So we'll talk about that. So at the end of the day, we ended up with 8.5 months, and Esav with 3.5 months. And if it's a leap year, we get an extra month. We stole the world. That's the general overview of those months. Okay, that leaves me with just enough time to do what? To go to letter Ches. With me? Okay, just enough time to the letter Ches, and then I have to spend my time away preparing the next set of classes. Okay, take a look at the letter Ches. The left one is the way you'll find it in the Siddur. The right one is where you'll find it in the Sefer Torah. But there's a little bit of contrast. The middle one is according to the Arizal's way of doing it. And the one on the right is from the Beis Yosef. There's a two different little detailed difference in the script. We'll notice a little bit about that. That's our Ches. Which letter of the alphabet is it? The eighth letter. The gematria of Ches is 8. So as opposed to 7 that we just discussed, number 7 symbolized the complete purpose of human existence, combining the spiritual level of the Shabbos with the physical effort of the week. Going beyond 7, the number 8 symbolized man's ability to transcend the limitations of physical existence, to go beyond nature, outside of nature. A Jew is able to go beyond nature. So Ches stands for that on a plane above nature. Super miraculous. The number 8 is involved in so many aspects of the temple service and so many mitzvahs that have to do with beyond nature. Look at all the temple. Temple is beyond nature. There were 10 miracles that happened in the temple that could not happen on planet Earth. In the holiest of holies, the laws of physics were turned on their head. The ark was wider than the space it was sitting in. So figure that one out. It just blew, nature got blown apart. The fire altar never went out, even if a rainstorm was raining. It didn't happen. Incredible miracles, because that's where heaven and earth meet. So the laws of nature are suspended. So there's going to be a lot of 8s with the Beis HaMikdash. Kohen Gadol has how many garments? 8 garments. Different spices used for the oil of anointment and incense, 4 and 4 is 8. Poles, when they had a Mishkan, to carry the ark, 2 poles for the ark, 2 poles for the table, 2 for the golden altar, 2 for the copper altar, 4 times 2 is 8. How many musical different types of musical instruments were the Beis HaMikdash? 8 different types of musical instruments. An animal could only be brought in the Beis HaMikdash if it was 8 days old. How many days were used to prepare the inauguration of the Mishkan was 8 days. That's all the Beis HaMikdash. And other mitzvahs are similar. Circumcision is the 8th day. When you're circumcised, that solidifies you being a Jew, and a Jew by definition is capable of reaching outside of nature. Some of the 8 threads of the tzitzis, and Shmini Atzeres, the 8th day, which has a lot to do with that, which we'll talk about another time. Okay, what do you know about the Ches and what does it stand for? Ches starts the word chen, right? Chen. First of all, the fact that a non-Jew has so much trouble pronouncing the Ches by definition tells you already that is one of that's not a coincidence, because non-Jew can't pronounce it. They can't because they're not beyond nature. A Jew's beyond nature. He can. And do that. That's you know, it's just a hint, you know. But that clearly is part of that. So look at all these words that non-Jews got no connection to. Like chen, favor. We find favor in God's eyes. It comes from the word chinam, which is free. Which means you don't deserve it. You didn't pay for it. God will be gracious to us even at times we don't deserve it. That's the ches of chen. Ches stands for chaim. It's right. It's written in the Torah. Now remember, I showed you what the Ches looks like. Mm-hmm. What do you got? What's connecting these two letters? It's like a roof. Okay. You see the roof that's connecting them over there? So therefore, it's written in the Torah with its roof rising to a point, symbolizing both Hashem, who's called the living God, who dwells on high. There's a pasuk that says that. And the righteous, who continue to live on after death by virtue of their spirituality. So they rise. The Ches rises, like life itself rises. The Ches is phonetically similar to the word Chet. Really, spell Ches, Chet, especially the way Israeli says it. Chet, Sfaradi, Chet, and Chet. The letter Chet, and sin is Chet. Okay? But if a sinner does tshuva, he can live again, and he can continue to live. Now, interestingly, according to the Beis Yosef, the Ches consists of two spear-shaped Zions, side by side with a roof over them. Take a look again. That's one on the right side. It's two Zions with a roof. Interesting. Why? That's the real letter in the Sefer Torah. Don't be fooled by what you see on the left side. That's just for the printer. Okay? That's the left side. It's not the way God made the letter. He made the letter, either according to Rizal or the Beis Yosef, with like two letters together with a roof. Okay, what do we see? It's called, it's not cheese. You know how many times the my spell check keeps doing that? It's called a ches from the word chas. There's the letter chas, meaning distorted. Since the shape appears as if two spear-shaded zines have been distorted at the top to form a combining bridge. Interesting, Allah on Shabbos, for you to transgress the one of the 39 prohibited activities on Shabbos is writing. How many letters do you have to write in order to be punished? Two. Two letters. I can't get into details. Why? If you write one letter, it's not allowed, but you don't get punished. Two letters, you get punished. What if, take a look at this letter now. What if you take an eraser and erase the roof off of a ches? At that point, you'll be punished. Why? Because you've created two letters. Fascinating halacha. Does it have any spiritual significance? Of course it does. What does that mean? Let's see what really has to happen. What's the message of the Ches? Two Zions. Man has to balance the two Zions. Now let's go back to that letter Zion. What's Zion? Passive trust in the Zun, the sustainer. That's one Zion. Zun, Hashem sustains. Sustain the world. On the other hand, the Zion is the sword. I'm the active participant. You have to be an active participant. With your weapons, physical weapons, spiritual weapons, to plow, to reap, or to use your weapons of prayer. So now you have to synthesize those two seemingly antithetical positions. You put your trust in the one who supports you, or do you make it happen? So you've got to combine the two, put a roof over them, and that becomes a unity, which is with the living Chai God, who will then have Chain, grace towards you. You follow the deeper message of the Ches. In conclusion of this little bit, by dedicating himself to the service of God, man can resolve the contradiction between human endeavor and trust in him. You see what's going on over here? That Zion can go any way possible. We don't want to end with a Zion. We want to get the Ches, putting it all together, and therefore you deserve to be graced with Chain and Chaim. Now it's interesting also just to know, since a Ches and a He are very similar, so the rabbis, I'm not going to talk about it now, they're both guttural letters, Ches, He, so they can, sometimes the rabbis will interchange them to make drushes. So just to know that you can switch them. And they're very close, you see, the word chametz and matzah, same letters, although one's inside, but sounding the same. The difference is what two letters? A ches and a hey. How much is their difference there? Very little drop. What's interesting, chametz and matzah? 1 second. 17 minutes and 59 seconds it's matzah, 18 minutes is chametz. What's interesting, chametz and matzah? Very little bit. Finally, if we can squeeze this is great. The ches, according to Arizal, is fusing the two letters vav and zion. Vav and Zion. On top of the Vav, the Zion is the bridge that unites the two. In Kabbalah, Vav represents the male principle, the husband. Zion represents the female principle, the wife. The bridge that links them is Hashem. Wow. And we already mentioned, a woman of valor is a crown to her husband. That's the Zion. The dove, designed as a downward shoot, allows to be the benefactor of the male. Okay. The gematria of Zion, 7, alludes to the Shabbos, the female, or the recipient of the 6 previous days. 6 days give to Shabbos. One who prepares food for Erev Shabbos eats on Shabbos. So the husband is the one who generates. The wife is the receptacle in many ways. Okay, Vav and Zion. Look at this now. The design of the Ches is representative of another type of bridge. If the relationship between Vav, man, and the Zion, woman, is to be complete, the two are united beneath a chuppah. A marriage canopy. And that's what the Ches looks like. A chuppah. And chuppah starts with what letter? Ches. The word chuppah. Chuppah is a combination of Ches, Po. Ches, Po. Chuppah. Ches is here. Ches is the heart of marriage. A man and woman are truly united only when they're joined beneath the chuppah with the third partner, which is Hashem. And that was a perfect timing, 9:14.
Wow.
So we're off for 2 weeks. Lots to review.